Well, good morning all and welcome this morning. Slowly all starting to come back after the summer. Well, how many of us are ready for the word this morning? Amen. I'm going to pick it up where we left off last week. For those who weren't with us last week or didn't hear the sermon, then I'm sure that as we go on, you'll kind of pick up where we were last week. But I continued on last week with how terribly important it is at the hour in which we live in to live a life of faith, to possessing a real faith, a faith that works. And we know as Christians that we are called to live by faith, right? I mean, we can all say amen to that. It says that in the Bible many times, that God wants his children living by faith. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so faith is not a small issue in the life of a believer. And I want us to get a much better understanding of what faith is, what faith is not, and how to really walk in a living faith. And this morning I want to share on something that I believe is key to possessing a strong faith. Because as we go forward at this hour, we know the things around us, the world is getting darker. We know that. Things are getting worse. And we believe, I believe with all of my heart, we're seeing the last of the days. We are living in the last of the last days. But none of us knows how long we will be on the earth. We don't. We would like to just go like now and escape it all, but we don't know. If the Lord tarries, we might be here for a while. And so we need to I believe the Holy Spirit has been really leading me to key in on faith, because it's by faith that you get saved. It's by faith. It's always by faith. And we don't know what's ahead. You know, we hear rumors of wars, and we hear rumors of famine. We hear all these things. And you think, whoa, are these things really going to happen? You know, we've been in the Western part of the world, we've been kind of protected from a lot of possibly what some of the third world countries have been living through. We've always had enough food on our tables. Come on, can I hear an amen? In fact, probably more than we should have. And so we've never had to face maybe some of the things that we might have to face going forward. But it doesn't matter what is going to come our way in the future. If you have faith in God, faith is the key. We are overcomers through faith. And so this morning I want to share again about not only of the importance of having a strong faith, but having a working faith. What good is faith if it doesn't work? You know, you could say, oh yeah, I'm a person of faith. Are you? And so we're going to open up this morning and begin in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. In the book of James, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, he looks at himself, and then he leaves the mirror, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. Now, we all are familiar with this scripture. But what is it really saying to all of us? What is the scripture really telling us? And I know many of us go to these kinds of scriptures and we interpret them and with a perception that still comes from the old covenant. And that's why these are not the scriptures that we love to read, you know, because sometimes it puts too much on us. It's like, whoa, I'm not doing that. I'm not looking in the word, because that's what it's talking about. But what is it really talking about? What is it speaking about that we can glean this morning and find hope and be excited? Because if the word of God doesn't excite you, then you're not interpreting it right. I can tell you that for free. If it doesn't excite you. So this word is really speaking to you about you. When you look into a mirror, what are you seeing? Why do you look into a mirror? You see your own reflection, right? You're not looking in the mirror to see your husband or someone else. No, you look to see you. And so this is referring to you looking into the Bible, okay? The mirror is the Bible or God's word. And it tells us that if you're only a hearer of the word and not a doer, you are like a natural man in the natural looking into a mirror, and immediately when you leave the mirror, you forget what you looked like. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. Now, so let's not see this scripture from a mentality of the Old Testament, because you are not looking for fault. When you look into a mirror, most of us are looking for fault. Are my hair okay? You know? Is my face clean? Are my teeth brushed? You are looking for fault. But when you look into God's word and God's mirror, you're not looking for your faults. Do you hear me? And that's why a lot of people don't get excited about getting into the word of God, because it makes them feel condemned. Why? Because they're perceiving it in the wrong light. They're looking for their faults. I wouldn't want to study the word of God either if all it did was show up my faults. Come on. You'd be a sadist if you loved that. I mean, you're looking for your identity in Christ. That's what you're seeing. You're looking for how perfect you already are, according to the Word of God. God's Word has much to say about you as His child. So let's not look at the scripture from a mentality of the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, you're always looking for sin. That's not why we are to look into the Word of God. But if you read it carefully, it's speaking about what manner of man or woman you are according to the law of liberty. What is the law of liberty? It is the new covenant. Who are you? What is your identity under the law of liberty? In other words, who are you in Christ? That's what it's saying. Who are you in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, not some things, all things are become new. And in a world where there is more and more and more darkness meaning deception. I mean, it's not a literal darkness. We, as God's children, need to display and be God's witness to the truth, which is light. And this truth that I'm sharing this morning is something that has been lost in the church. Something that we still grapple with. You'd think after 2,000 years, we'd get good at this. We'd know who we were in Christ. The Word of God clearly tells us who we are in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You are God's creation. Created in Christ Jesus. What does that tell us? That means it tells us that you had absolutely nothing to do with your creation any more than you had anything to do with your birth. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't have to do something to get it before you were born. It was already done. You had nothing to do with your holiness or your perfection that the Word of God says you right now are, except to believe it and receive it by faith. Why? Because Jesus became your substitute. He did it all. All. And when Jesus died at that cross, The old you died. You got to see that. Who you used to be died. And God raised Jesus. You know, Jesus died spiritually. Some people don't believe that, but he did. And when God raised, he had to be raised from the dead. He died spiritually, physically, and mentally. Jesus died. He suffered your death. And if he suffered my death, that means he suffered my spiritual death. He went there for me. He became my substitute. And when God raised him from the dead, he raised you together with him up from the dead. And now you have a joint spirit with Jesus. He raised you up with the same life that he raised Jesus up with. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's who you are. You are dead. "And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you will also appear with him." Why? Because you are his life. He is your life. You are the body. Wherever the head goes, the body goes. "You will appear with him in glory when he shall appear." What is that referring to? To me, that is telling me that's the rapture. When he will appear, and with a trump, the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who which are alive and on the earth remain, we will rise up and be with him. We will be like him. We will be transformed in an instant. And we will rise to be with him in the clouds, and we will ever be with him for all eternity. This is referring to the rapture when we get our glorified bodies. Aren't you glad we're getting glorified bodies? That is good news to me. So the fact remains is when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him to a new life. Totally changed. And because we live in this world, our reality most of the times, well, almost 100% of the times, is this world. It is so hard for us to comprehend what this is actually meaning. Well, how do I take that and live that or put that into my life that it makes a difference? Because I'm still in a world where, you know, there's the curse is very alive and active all around me. Everything around me is passing away, decaying, fading. My body is still under the old, you know, curse of death and decay. Like, how does that change me? Is it just a little spark of hope on the inside of you that one day we're going to go to be with Jesus? Well, you should, yes. That I'm not going to underplay or undermine that spark of life that we all have on the inside, because that's important. But there's so much more that God in these last days wants to bring us in. And even as the enemy is coming in with this massive deception that we can hardly even people who aren't saved can't even hardly believe what's going on and the things that are being taught. But at the same time, you always have to understand God is doing exactly the opposite. If there is a massive move of deception, then bless God, in his kingdom, there is a massive move of revelation and truth. And I believe we are living in the days where Joel prophesied and said, in the last days, God is going to pour out the Spirit. And what is the Spirit? He's the Spirit of truth. And I think that going forward, God wants the body. You were designed, you were specifically chosen to live at this hour, at this time. And I believe God has a specific purpose for you. And so you've been chosen to have that outpouring, to have that double portion. I want a double portion of a revelation of who God is, who I am in him, so that I can live the best life that I can and bring as many in for Jesus as I can. Because that's all that counts. That's all that's important right now. We know the end is drawing near. And we need to believe that and live like it is. And when I say live like it is, it's not so much in what we do. And you'll see as I continue on with this, So there's such a struggle for most people to really understand, including myself. I struggle with this, to really understand that this is really my identity, because the flesh is exactly the opposite of what the Bible tells me that I am. And because we, and that's where I want to go this morning, you and I, we identify ourselves in the flesh. When we think of ourselves, we think of flesh. Well, I like this, and I like that, and I'm really bad at that, and I can't do this, and I got a problem in this area. That's who we see. That's how we see ourselves. And how you see yourself, how you perceive yourself to be, is how you're going to live, is how you're going to be. It's going to become your reality. Is that who you really are? No, that's not who you really are. Do not look to your flesh to find out who you are. So how we perceive ourselves in the flesh, how we act, how we look, how we speak, what we do, what we not do, what we have or what we don't have. If you don't have $1 million, you think, if you don't have much money, you think you're poor. You know, I mean, everything goes to the flesh. But that's not the truth. God's word is truth. And the reason we struggle so much with our faith is because we don't give the Holy Spirit anything to work with. We cry out for God to maybe prosper us. Maybe we're struggling financially. But the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness to the fact that you say and constantly confess, I have no money. That's not what the Bible says about you. Or if you're struggling maybe in your body with a sickness or a disease, and you're constantly saying how much it hurts or all the pain, Holy Spirit can't bear witness with that, because that's not the truth. The truth is, by His stripe you're healed. And you have to give the Holy Spirit the truth, because He cannot bear witness with a lie. True? God's word is truth. And the word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, even when you were dead in your sins, God quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and He has raised us up together, and He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. This isn't future tense. He hath raised us up. And that's where we are. This is where we sit. Do you see yourself as sitting there? Where are you sitting? You are sitting at the right hand of God. That is where you are. Even though your body is in this world, you are actually sitting at the right hand of God. That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. You are sitting there. You are safe and secure. You're in His hand. And yet, to most Christians, God is so far away. We got to seek and fast and pray. No, don't believe that. You are constantly in the presence of God. You know, just the fact that sometimes when we approach God, we say things like, oh, Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. And you know what your Father says to you? Where were you? You never left my side. And you have to see yourself there at all times. Use your imagination, because that's where you live, is at the right hand of God. He's right beside you. And when you pray, it's not in the name of Jesus, is not a magical formula that we throw around and, oh yeah, the Bible says if I say that, God hears our prayers. No. It meaning in the name of Jesus to you means I am seated here. I am just like Him. My Father's right there. I just have to turn to Him and smile. There was a great book written many years ago, and it was called Practice His Presence. Amazing book. You need to practice His presence every day. Remind yourself, I am in the God is there. He's right beside you. He's not far away someplace and you gotta seek him, you know, and we always talk about, oh, I felt the presence of the Lord. You know, we sought the presence of the Lord. The presence is always there. It's when you finally, by faith, realize that, you begin to experience it at all times, anytime. It's not just when we sit at the piano or I sit at the piano and worship God. Yes, I feel his presence. Does that mean I entered into it? No, I've been there the whole time. We need to live our lives that way. We need to practice sitting in heavenly places. We need to be aware of that. We are forever in the presence of God. But we get so caught up with feelings. Why? Because we think our flesh is the truth. We live like our flesh is the truth. We get caught up with feelings. Oh, I just didn't feel him. I feel like God is so far away. Flesh. Flesh. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. It is based on truth, not emotions. And so I don't care how you feel, it changes not the word of God about you. No matter how you feel, you are still sitting in the presence of God. You are still at the right hand of God. Nothing can change that. Faith is based on truth, not on feelings or emotions. And I'm going to say to you what I said last week, because let's face it, emotions are nice. When you feel the presence of God, it's a wonderful feeling, right? You know, we like emotions. We're emotionally moved in our lives, you know, anger. There's so many emotions we can experience. And but I'm going to say what I said last week. The world says this, I won't believe it till I see it. But you got to remember, God's kingdom and God's word says you won't see it until you believe it. It won't be a reality until you really believe it. God's presence is always there. But if you're waiting to know that that you're in the presence of God, you have to feel it first. It's not going to happen. You've got to believe you are there. Do you understand? Because what you believe becomes your reality. And according to the scripture, this is truth. And the Holy Spirit, he loves. You know, the Bible talks about living in the truth, walking in the truth, speaking the truth. And that is another way of saying you walk uprightly. The person who walks in the truth, irregardless, I'm not talking about what's going on in your life. I'm talking about you walking in what God says you should walk in, what God says you are. And forget about the life of the flesh right now. Because you'll never deal with that life in the flesh until you finally step into this new creation that you already are. And it's in that place and in that position that your flesh life begins to change. But you see, we want to change the flesh so that we can somehow are thinking that we think that if I can change my flesh, then I can get into that position. No, 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 no. It's opposite. You've got to place yourself in that position. You've got to live there. And you know what? You're going to look back at your flesh life and you're going to say, whoa, how did that all happen? How did it all work out? But you see, we're so keyed in on changing the flesh. I mean, that's the way the world works. Change the flesh. You know, we do it all the time. It's just inbred in us. You know, bless God, I can change that. I'm going to take a hold of that thing and I'm going to just change it. And you might be successful for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It depends who you are. Depends how much willpower you have, you know. And the next guy just flip-flops around. 2 days he goes and he just feels like such a failure. Then he condemns himself because he has no fortitude to do anything. And we who go 3 weeks or three, maybe 3 years, we look down on those people. But you know what? God is well more able to reach that person and to deliver that person who knows he can't do a thing than the one who thinks, I got this. I can do it. And yet we pride ourselves on being strong-willed. Look at me. Look at me. God gets no glory from that. And so sometimes we get so how could I say, depending on each one of us has been raised and trained up to believe a certain way. And most of the things we've been trained up to believe are totally opposite of how God works and God's ways. And it's time for us as Christians to say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't working. I mean, yeah, I was raised this way, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, do good. And it was all about the appearance. It was all about looking good. You know, and do good. Always do good. If you do good, God will be good to you. That's not the scriptures. That's not the Bible. We're still living under an old covenant. And it's no wonder we're not seeing the results of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because he can't bear witness with that. That is an old covenant. It's done. It's gone. It's passed away. We are under a new covenant. Living by faith is living according to the truth, what God's word says about you. That is being a doer of the word. You know, we look there and think, okay, what must I do? Believe only. Believe it, and it will come to pass. Believe right, and you will live right. So God has recreated you to be just like Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 17, as he is, not as he was, as he is right now at the right hand, so are you. Can you believe that? And if you were to say that to a lot of people, they'd think, who do you think you are? You know, seriously, who do you think you are? Well, you're dead. It's not you, it's Christ in you. You're dead. And your real life is now Jesus' life. And when we finally grab hold of that, when we finally see it, where it begins to, all of a sudden you get that little excitement going on down here, and you think, whoa. And you're just touching the tip of the iceberg. If we could ever, you know, someday when we see Jesus face to face and this life is over for us, we are going to see. We're going to take that blind off of our eyes. And it's going to be so glorious. And maybe those are where the tears are that the Bible talks about. Because we're going to realize, oh my goodness, I could have had that when I was down there. I could have experienced all these things. And because I just didn't see it. I couldn't receive it. So if God says that you're just like his son, and he knows truth like no other, then bless God, believe it. Because he says you are like Jesus. See yourself sitting right beside him in his presence continually. Use your imagination. It's so important. But the thing that hinders most of us from truly embracing this truth, because we've heard it before, or at least I hope you have, and from living that heavenly life, even while we're in this world. Because the Bible says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Okay? You're not of this world anymore. You are a new creation. Just like Jesus, he was the firstborn from the dead. And then you were the secondborn, I was the thirdborn, whatever, so on and so on. But we were born into the same life as his. The same quality, the same quantity. Just imagine that. And the thing that hinders us from truly embracing this truth and living this heavenly life, or as Jesus said, life abundantly, is sin in the flesh. I believe that. It's the sin in the flesh. It's the old you. We know that as long as we're in this world, we're going to have to live in this body that's dead. And there is such a thing as sin in the flesh. Okay? The Bible speaks about it. And so because we judge ourselves according to the body, which is ridiculous because you have to tell yourself, this body's dead. Why would I judge myself according to a dead body? But because we do that, because we do, we see ourselves, we judge ourselves according to the flesh, not the spirit. That's a natural thing for all of us to do. Then our life, our spiritual life, or our faith life is like up and down, up and down. Today I feel good about the flesh, tomorrow I feel lousy. Today I feel good, tomorrow. You know, it's like a life like this. You know, and it's, after a while, you just want to give up. It's like the Apostle Paul said, oh, The thing that I ever want to do, I'm not doing. The thing that I don't want to do, I'm ever doing. Oh God, who's going to deliver me from this life, from this body of sin, is what he cries out. And I do believe that that's the cry of every truly, if that's the cry of your heart, then you know you truly are a child of God. You know, you really are. Because I think every Christian goes through that. Who's going to deliver me from this life or this body of sin? We get the idea sometimes that, and maybe it's because of the things we've been taught years ago, maybe in another denomination or our church or even our parents, that God blesses those who are good. Come on. And that sounds so rational. If you stop anybody on the street and ask, you know, who does God bless? Well, the good ones. Well, you know, in other words, a no-brainer. That's something everybody should know. But you know what? That's a lie. That's not truth. But we're so ingrained to see it that way that we have to stop and remind ourselves, oh, no, that's not really the truth. But most of the times we don't take that time, and subconsciously we're still living that way. So that needs to change. How do you change? You repent. What does the word repent mean? I talked about that last week. Repent doesn't mean you come to the front of the church and fall down and bawl and cry and squall and feel sorry and feel bad about your sin. That's not repentance. Right now you're sitting out here, you're hearing the word of God. Guess what's happening in the inside of you? You're repenting. Repentance is to change your mind. To repent is to change my mind about how I see myself. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. I'm not telling you to give up this, give up that, because that's somehow the idea we get. That I'm not acceptable because I'm not living right, or I haven't reached that mark yet. No, repentance, true repentance, is to change your attitude, change your perception of who and how you see yourself. That's true repentance. And that happens every time you hear the word. You're changing. You're repenting continually as your mind. Because it's the mind that controls you. As a man thinketh, so he is. So in order to change as you is, you need to change what's up here in your mind. Perception. So God blesses those that are good. In other words, most of us tell ourselves, I haven't arrived yet. Don't ask me to pray for you. I'm not there yet. Why? We're basing it on the flesh. How ridiculous. You have, that just shows that you still think your flesh has something to do with it. Your flesh is dead. Your flesh is dead. We think we haven't arrived yet. We're still trying to get into that position. That's not truth. You have already arrived. God hath raised you up, hath blessed you with every spiritual blessing. God's word is truth. And God's word says you have been perfected forever. You got to tell yourself, I'm perfected. Might sound like a joke to you. You're going to giggle about it as you say it. But it's truth. And the more you speak it, the more the Holy Spirit bears witness with it. And we don't know how he brings it to pass, but he does. It's not your responsibility to change you. You just need to be yielded to the changer, who is the Holy Spirit. You think you haven't arrived, but you have. God's word is the truth, and he says you've been perfected, you've been complete, made whole in Christ. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Boy, does that look different than our natural lives, right? And all your sins have been washed away. For how long? Forever. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and this is what it says. We've stumbled over this one many times. I've heard many, many, many pastors preach on this. But through the scriptures, I'm going to prove that that's not true. It says in verse 7, if you walk in the light, as he is speaking about Jesus, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so now they're stressing, or I've heard it being stressed, that it's all about you walking in the light. If you don't walk in the light, the blood of Jesus doesn't continually or cleanse you from sin. Okay? So, in other words, if you fall into sin, now you're in darkness. So there, the forgiveness, you know, it's like you're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. So we've been given the idea that we can return back to the kingdom of darkness somehow. But that's not truth. That's not truth at all. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, I don't know if I've got that scripture verse down. Did I put that one down, Cameron? In the book of Colossians, and I believe it's in chapter 1, it says that we have been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, do you think in the kingdom of Jesus, do you think sitting at the right hand of God, which you are there forever, there is any darkness? If you are in Christ today, if you've received Jesus, you are in the light for eternity. You can't leave the light. You might stumble and fall in that light, but you will never be outside of that light. And so that means that the blood of Jesus, when God looks at you sitting at his right hand, do you know that he doesn't see your flesh? God cannot see sin. And yet it's become such a burden to us. And yet God's looking at you like, I see only beauty and perfection. Why? Because Jesus, because you're my workmanship. I've recreated you in Christ as just as Christ is. Do you think you'd have a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish? No. But you need to see yourself that way. We're living so much lower in this life than what God has intended for us to live. So you are perpetually in the light. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you need to walk in the light. You're in the light forever. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you need to get into the presence of God. Oh, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Well, where were you? You've been there the whole time. You're always in his presence. So if you are in Christ, you are in the light forever. That's why the Bible calls us the saints of light. God cannot see your sin when you are in the light. Now, those that are outside of the light, those that are in, that are not in Christ, yes, the wrath of God is still upon them. Why? Because he sees their sin. But the blood of Jesus has washed us completely clean. And I know they use 1 John 1:9 as a, well, the Bible says, if any man does sin, then you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who, and if you confess your sin, he's righteous and faithful to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So now that gives us the idea that, well, I guess I have to always continually confess. And so you're confessing all day long. That's not truth either. Because when that book was written, the apostle was writing it to the Jewish people. And there was many that were not saved. There was many that had not received Jesus. And what he was saying was, when you come to Jesus and believe who he is, receive his free gift of forgiveness, then you are cleansed from all sin. But no, we teach in the church that you need to keep a short account with God. Well, my goodness, if my forgiveness and my cleansing was based upon my asking for forgiveness, I'm afraid I could never, ever reach the point of saying, I am perfected. But you see, God has already, you see, God finished it before he begins it. That's God's way. You are perfected. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. God always sees you as the righteousness of God in him. You are the righteousness of God. And that's what I talked about last week. Be established in this truth, because that is the foundation of your faith. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, which bears witness with everything that I'm saying here. It says this, Verse 14, Hebrews chapter 10, for by one offering, who was the offering? Jesus. Jesus became the sacrifice, that offering for you and I. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who are, you know, like they use these words and then we try to get really, those only for those who are holy, the word sanctified. Well, that doesn't, then none of us are going to be able to receive it. We have been made holy in Christ. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Spirit is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'm going to make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Now he's about to tell us what the new covenant clause is. Okay? I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. And their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. That is the clause of the new covenant. That is the thing the Holy Spirit bears witness with. Not that we're sinners saved by grace. No. You were a sinner. You're saved. Now you're the righteousness of God. Too often we see ourselves as still sinners. You're not a sinner. Now you might live in a body that has this thing called sin, but you yourself are not a sinner. You are righteous. This is the very new clause. Your sins, your iniquities, God remembers no more. You're free. Completely free. Under the old covenant, their sins were brought to remembrance once a year. Under the new, they're washed away completely, cast into the sea of forgetfulness forever. So, here's the question. Does God want us to live in sin? Of course not. God hates sin. It cost him the life of his son. But even though God does not see you in your flesh or in your sin, here's the thing, the world does. And when we participate in sin, the world sees it. It spoils our witness. How can we be a witness to what Jesus has done, which is the clause? He's forgiven us of all sin. He's destroyed sin. So it spoils our witness to others. Now, it should never affect your relationship, because the Bible says that our conscience should be purged once and for all. You know, and yet when we miss it, when we fail in the flesh, our conscience bothers us. Come on. How do we get rid of that? The Bible tells us that through the new covenant, our conscience has been perfected. In other words, there's no more guilt, no more shame. And that's hard. That's a struggle for us. Because we are the hardest on ourselves. I can be much more gracious to you than you can be to you. And that's the truth. So, how do we deal with the sin in the flesh? Because we don't want to spoil our witness. We're here to be a light. We're here to for such a short while. And the only thing that's going to matter at the end, when it's all said and done, is what did you do with what Jesus has given you, this free life, this wonderful... Did you, like Jesus said, freely you have received it, now freely give it away. Okay, that's important. It's important. God wants you to shine. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Listen carefully. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. Now, there's a second part of that scripture that was added. Actually, it's in italics in the Bible. And if you read down in most of the interpretations, it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That was added. That was not in the original Bible. So I drop it. There is therefore no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. For, listen carefully, the law of the Spirit of life. Now, we just read the law of the Spirit of life. We just read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will put my law into their hearts and their minds. What is this law? When you're reading through this, you want to know, what's the law? What is the law? For the law of the Spirit of life, that God, this is what he writes in our hearts, will make me free from the law of sin and death. So what is the law of the Spirit of life? Anybody know? What is the law of the Spirit of life? Because that's the thing I need to understand. That's the thing that's going to set me free from sin. Anybody? No hands. What is the law of the Spirit? Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. Jesus is speaking here. He says this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does the word quickeneth mean? It means to bring to life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Okay? Your flesh is dead. You can try to do all you want in the flesh, but it's dead. It's dead works, and it's passing away. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, what are they? Spirit and life. The law of the Spirit of life is what? The Word of God. The Word, Jesus Christ, the living Word. The words that I speak, they're Spirit and life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He bears witness with those words. And so what are we to do? How do we deal with this body of sin? Romans 12, 2, bearing witness with what I just read. And be not conformed to this world, to the flesh life, okay? But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, saturate your mind with the word of God's truth about you, concerning you, and continually speak it out, because that's the works of faith. I am the righteousness of God. Even in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your battle, in the midst of your trial. That's not who you are. In fact, for an example, when you are sick in the body, let's say you're really sick, and maybe the doctors have given you a really bad report, you confess the words of God, the words of God's life in the midst of that sickness. You don't, it's not that we're denying that this physical body can get sick, because it can. Okay? But we're denying it's right. We're changed. The only thing, you can't change a physical sickness. Your faith isn't changing anything. Your faith is receiving what God said and what God has done already for you in Christ. That's what we need to understand. We're not changing anything. God has already given you healing. By his stripe, I am healed. And it's only God's word that could create. Remember, the Bible says in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, the word was God. Nothing was made without the word. And so what the word does, this word of truth, which is spirit and life, it begins to create what wasn't there. It begins to renew, quicken your dead cells in your body, your organs, speak to your body. That's what having the authority is all about. Speak to your situation. What are you speaking? God's word of life. Bring things back to life. Allow the Holy Spirit to rekindle your marriage, rekindle your body, your finances. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever your problem is, whatever you speak to in the name of Jesus. Now, that's walking in the Spirit. That's walking uprightly. Even in the midst. Don't worry about that thing. Don't keep your focus on the sin or on the sickness or on the thing that you're dealing with, because that only adds fuel to it. It only becomes bigger. And that's what we want to do in the flesh. We want to nurture the flesh. We want to keep our focus on this problem. And oh my God, and we think somehow it's virtuous and noble to keep feeling guilty about something. And oh God, help me. You know, and God is saying, come on, pick up my word. Take the sword of the Spirit. Operate in the Spirit of life. That changes you. And you know, the more you speak out, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, the more you will become, the Holy Spirit bears witness, and the more righteous you will act. It'll become your reality. So we need to understand and operate in this going forward. I mean, bringing all of that into where we're going. Know who you are. Don't let the enemy come along and deceive you and say, oh, you're just a this or a that. No, you aren't. You are just as much righteous, as holy and perfected as Jesus himself. Stand in that and be grateful and stand in it in the strength of the Spirit. Practice it every day. Have a new life. Say, you know, whenever you're tempted to feel down or feel discouraged or feel bored, whatever, remind yourself where you are, who you are. See yourself, see the Father right beside you all the time. And he will become more and more and more real. And you won't be begging for things. You just have to look at him and say, Father, and smile and say, oh, thank you that you've provided this area. Thank you. You know, he's already given you everything. You're just receiving it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you ought to be the word that we use more than anything. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But no, we're too busy begging and pleading and, you know, praying wrong prayers. The Holy Spirit can't bear witness with that. We need to come in line with the truth. And then the Spirit begins to work. Do you understand that? And so even in the midst of wherever you're at, whether you're dealing with sickness or whatever, remember, in the midst of that, speak the truth. Even though it seems so far away, so far from your reality, God's word is spirit and it's truth. And when you condemn yourself because of where you're at in life, you know what you're doing? You're coming into agreement with what's going on, and it gets bigger. So in the midst of all problems, speak words of life. That's operating in the spirit of life. And the Holy Spirit comes and bears witness and brings it to pass. So every day we need to use our imagination, and especially today, and remind ourselves who we really are. Take a hold of it, whether you feel like you are or not. Say, Lord, this is your word. And I don't feel like I'm very this or that. But if it says it, it must be true. And so I'm going to just start to speak it. That's all you need. Give the Holy Spirit a fighting chance to bring you to where you ought to be in this world. It's a good place. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. When God prepared for all of us. Amen? We need to just trust him no matter what. We're going to close with communion right now.